Achan, in the Survey of Paramita Dhamma, there's a section that says Gamaja Rupa arises at each of the three moments of citta, the arising, the presence, and the falling away. What does that mean? I don't understand.
Citta can be separated
by the three, yes.
And Gamma conditioned three
Gamma.
moments, Gamaja Rupa arise. The moment of upada, the moment of titi, and the moment of pankot. While the cittasurupa arises only just at the moment of upada only.
Yes, the three moments of citta arising, presence, and falling away.
So we talk about cittasurupas. Cittasurupa is conditioned to arise by citta, the same moment at the moment of arising. Only
Jitta-jurupa.
one moment of the three, and for Kammacarupa, even at moment of arising, there is Kammacarupa arisen by Kamma. At moment of titi, it's there, and even at moment of pankha.
Okay, so I'm still none the wiser.
I think Ajahn seems to be saying there that
the difference between the citta, which is conditioned by kamma, or by citta. The citta cannot produce the other two moments, but kamma can.
Kamma can.
Condition.
Kamma-jurupa.
Even one citta, three moments. There must be kamma-jurupa at moment of arising, titi, and pankha. But for citta-jurupa.
But why is it rupa then? Why?
Rupa is rupa. No, why?
Well, you're saying, this is what I think you're saying, that gamma is conditioning the jitters, but
and also the rupa.
The rupa.
Even the rebirth consciousness, it doesn't produce only citta and cittasika, which are vipaka, but also kamacharupa.
I don't think I'm any wiser.
We just talk about at what moment that condition citta, charupa, and what the other moment, even the titi and pankha, only kamma can condition rupa, while the citta cannot condition the rupa to arise. The three moments, just only the first one.
Each moment of three moments.
Thinking about rupa arises by conditions.
Yes.
And when it is kamacharupa, can you stop the arising of kamacharupa?
No.
And in order to show how many moments the kamma can condition rupa,
okay.
Not just the moment of arising.
But at those, okay.
Yes. But for Jitarachupa, it's written. And Utu is not, Utu cannot condition the Rupa at the moment of.
Only at the presence.
Yeah.
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah.
And with our Jitta, how can we know to explain the Kamacharupa? But we can explain how and when it arises because we can have Jitta to know at what time the Kamacharupa arises.
So,
with our citta, we can say like
with
that
it,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, even so, with our citta, it arises like that. But we don't know how to be understood. We have to say with citta, the three moments of citta. That's the only way to explain the kamma conditioned. All three moments, while citta charupa, only the first arising, and the utu and ahara, the titi cannot only.
So is that because the kamma is so powerful? Could you say that it has to operate in all three moments? It can't operate in, say, the gamma cannot operate just in, it can't operate just in that arisen moment. It has to be it's powerful and has to arise in all three moments.
Or can we say at the arising and bhanga stage for citta, citta are 2 weeks to produce rupa?
Pardon?
At the arising of citta.
We have to understand what kind of citta does not produce rupa. Like the thin cannot produce rupa. But the other citta can. That's why we learn to understand how many cittas does produce rupa.
But the arising of the citta, it cannot
not
produce
rupa. Not on the citta. At the moment, how to explain rupa without citta when it arises? See? So we need something to compare or to understand how many more moments come up, condition rupa to arise, while citta can have only not as many moments as karma.
No. But can we say the other arising and the bhanga, because the cittas are weak when it's arrived now? We cannot say that.
Because we have to understand what is citta rupa. At moment of thinking and the attention, intention to speak, just condition instantly. And when citta does not intend to speak, it cannot condition the kamma citta charupa.
Okay. Okay.
Think of rupa as rupa and citta as citta. And what can condition rupa? Kamma by its own way, and citta by its own way, and uto and ahara, their own way. So if you just want to talk about the arising of rupa without citta, please explain. How can one explain?
Arising of rupa without citta, did you say?
If we don't talk about citta, how can you talk about the arising of rupa to be known? The only way is to have the understanding of the three moments of citta, upada, didi, and bhanga, to know that kamma conditions more than citta. Kamma can condition more rupa.
Yeah, that's why I think, in my way of thinking, that it's more powerful than...
All right, yeah, because it can produce more.
Would that be correct?
How can I say? They're not the Buddha.
But you know more than me.
So I follow the teachings that no one can know at all except the enlightened one.
Yes, yes, that's probably... Yeah.
If one knows more, then please talk about that. See? But no one knows better than him.
True. Yes.
That's why we have to find out the reason. And when it arises, because it's kamma, and citta just arises with citta at the upadakana of citta. Can it be known? Can it be penetrated?
Well, somebody knew it, but the Buddha knew it. I don't know if arahats know it. It depends on
what can be known.
The present moment can be known.
All or just something? Not
well,
everything.
Only one thing at a time.
And other thing? Can it be known the other time?
At another time, another thing can be known.
What else is left? Not can be known. Can you know Pasa right now?
No.
See, even there is the understanding of Pasa.
Yes.
It has to be there. But it cannot be known, as we are not the Buddha and the Sariputta's right understanding. It depends on how much you don't know until it is there, that it can be known. It can be known by your accumulation, but we don't know about the others. Can the breath be known?
No.
Not for you.
Not for me.
But for the others, who knows? No expectation. Even you cannot know now, but who knows in the future? So that cannot be known, until it is there. Because there's no you, no one at all, only the accumulation of the Sankara Khanda. Now, later, it conditioned the moment which no one knows what is that.
Well, I don't know that there's no me. I mean, I hear it often, but...
Is it true?
I believe it's true, but there's not the actual penetration of that.
Can it be?
It can be known. Mm. It has to be
known.
Do
you know when?
Oh, no idea.
Mm. But it can be known.
But I think... I was also thinking this morning when a lot of these books, they... Well, it doesn't seem to tell you like you tell us about now and that... I mean, I read a lot of commentary and stuff.
But the words talk about now. The words, citta now, citta-sikas now, rupa now.
Okay, it does, I suppose. Yes, I believe that. But it's also like reading, and I think this is why possibly we're reminded that listening is important, because reading, yes, you can read and read and read, but if there's not the listening as that and explaining what is being read is about now
as not self,
then we don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's why the right attitude while one hearing, listening, studying the teachings, there's no I. No one at all, only realities. So while one reads or hears, one hears about the realities, not me. Because the reality is the reality. Arising and falling away, unknown, unknown. But it's true. So at the moment when the rupa is the object of right awareness, can you know whether that is conditioned by kamma or citta? See?
No.
Not at all. Because all of them are together, very close.
Yes.
Not the 8 rupa in a kalapa only yet. It's impossible. Because each arises and falls away in split seconds.
Again, like what you know, reading about the Mahabhuta rupas and the derived rupas, those 8 rupas in a galapa, my imagination is quite large, you know. But really, they're so minute and they arise and fall so fast.
Mm-hmm. That's why we live like in a magic world.
Yes.
Ajahn, when we have ice cream, if we have too big a bite of ice cream...
Together?
Together? Yeah.
Two big bites?
Bite of ice cream. We might have a headache because the ice cream is too cold. Can we say at that time the rupa is conditioned by this ice cream, or is actually from... We are not sure.
No one knows.
No one knows. Okay, it's not necessary, the ice cream. Okay.
Right now? Can you know the hardness is conditioned by what?
Mm-hmm. No.
It's the same as ice cream and headache.
Okay.
There must be conditions.
So even when we have some food and have a stomach, and it doesn't
How
mean...
How can you know the vipaka is the result of what karma, which has done how long or how short?
Okay.
It's really thinking. By having such thinking about whether this condition that is not moment of being able to understand directly, because the idea of something as real and the headaches there, no reality. Even the coldness gone and the headache is gone. Whatever one is talking about, they are gone. But it brings about the idea of this and that all day, all year, all life. And we try to understand the conditions by oneself. It's impossible. But we can understand the difference, like ice cream is not kamma-conditioned rupa. We know that it's only temperature, utu. But if you think more about whether you condition this, it's different. Because only expectation, speculation, not really understood, what's gone. So what would you like to know? Now? Yes. But it takes so long to have such conditions to lead it to reality right now.
Well, there's a lot of the time in my day, you know, I just remind myself, look, it's just now. Well, for example, this morning coming to the bus, there was a big, like, festival in the street of dragons, Chinese dragons, and the drums and the cymbals and so much noise, and I was feeling, oh. And then the thought just came to me, well, it's just sound. And in that moment, that annoyance just dropped away.
Different moment.
And that... you know, we talk about there's just this moment. But we're never really in this moment. It's always somewhere else, thinking about something, or even when those moments of, look, it's just what is now. That particular moment has gone already. And then there's another one and another one.
And what is after?
And
after. What comes next?
Another one. Another reality.
I again. Curiosity again.
Very, very
speculation
strong.
Again.
Yes, yes.
Until that are different realities.
Yeah. At times it seems, a lot of the time we think about Dhamma with the idea of a whole. When we say that, for example, that anger falls away, it's still me. And actually, anger falls away whether or not we know it. It's all the time, everything is falling away, but there's no understanding. Just a lot of remembering and thinking with no understanding.
It's natural, the way it is. So one can understand the difference between panya, right understanding, and wrong understanding of the idea of self. What is more?
So in other words, even sometimes what we take for intellectual understanding is not understanding.
It is. But it is at level of intellectual.
But the understanding has already gone, but we're actually talking about something else.
But it's there.
It's there, it's done its job. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It conditioned the thinking, mm-hmm. that particular thinking, but not precise.
Yeah. So just live to understand Dhamma.
And to listen.
Until it appears well, as it is. Just the word appear well, see, it has to be object of right understanding at what level.
Till now I don't even understand that concepts are not real and they don't appear. Concepts don't appear when there's thinking, dhammas appear, but concepts don't appear. But it seems concepts appear, so no understanding.
I think that's why it's said that we live in the world of concepts.
And we don't even know that actually it does not appear. It seems to appear.
Well, it seems very real, yeah.
Yeah.
But and that's what I'm saying. Unless we hear and we're taught that, then we just go on and on and on.
Even when we're reminded, there's no understanding. Do you understand that concepts don't appear, are not real?
Well, intellectually I can, you know, I've heard it enough, and I...
No, but right now, right, there's no understanding. Just intellectually you're thinking about the story of the difference between reality
and concept. I'm thinking about what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And you're a concept.
Appears through thinking,
but when we say...
No reality.
So, what actually appears? Because what we think
the already, object of
it's,
thinking.
It's a long story.
Object of thinking.
So even when we say the glass is there, it's actually many, many chittas and chetasikas.
And
so what really appears?
At this moment? Yes. At moment of seeing, that appears to
I can
see.
Understand seeing, at the moment of seeing, seeing appears.
Yes.
At the moment of hearing, sound appears.
Yeah.
But at the moment of thinking, what is it that appears?
Thinking, the object of thinking.
The object or the thinking appears? It can be anything, of course, there are so many
thinking
realities.
Thinking has what object?
It has a concept as object. Mm-hmm. So the concept appears?
It's there as concept.
Object. So we can say object appears?
Yes, aramana paccaya.
Because what includes
a concept.
What we also know about the word appeared, as you were just saying.
It's there to be known.
Mm. So known, because when we are told to understand what appears, we mean only realities. We refer only
or
to realities. But how can we understand concept?
Because it's there as object.
But it has no characteristic.
So we know that it's concept.
But appear and arise are two different.
Even appear, yeah, I understand that.
Normally we said count the aramana appear, but thinking with the concept. Concept appear, but thinking arise.
Mm. But we also know that when we use the word appear, as Acham was talking about earlier, we're talking about in the sense of realities appearing. Like,
so we use the word realities, and then we use the word concept, which is the different from.
But it's reality. The appearance is not the same when realities
appear.
No, not
appear, at all. That's why we know that
concept,
it's concept.
It's not concept.
Not reality.
I like the comment. Without reality, there can't be concept.
Right, but what actually appears when we think?
And we can say what appears. It can be realities or concept. We can say that concept is not reality because we use the word reality and concept.
But Achan, often you talk about appearance in terms of in the context of understanding growing more and more. So it means that from intellectual understanding, there's direct understanding to know what the object is a reality, is knowing what appears at that time, visible object appears to Panya. But when it's a concept, it's not like that. Concept can't be the object of Panya, as in visible object is the concept of is the object of Panya.
The understanding, the difference between the two is Panya.
That's.
And at that time, what is the object of Panya?
One by one, when it's the concept, it's not reality. That's why we know that we are living in the world of concept. Kunsukin, kun achita.
That's how it appears all the time, and that's how. But and we are told, as Azita just reminded, that without realities, there wouldn't be the idea of Sukhin and Sundara and Azita. So we know that it is realities that are arising and performing.
We don't know if we haven't heard the teachings.
We wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. No idea at all.
Even in that case,
Samatha Bhavana knows concept. When it's the object is concept, But the understanding is to know the difference between calm and not calm, and how calm can be increased. But it's not knowing anything about the concept. It's knowing the citta, how the citta with this concept as object can be calm.
He may concept appears well.
The concept is concept. Sure. Calm is calm.
Concept appears well.
In samatha, or in jhana.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Achan, when we talk about beings being the object of metta, which is kusala, no ignorance, at that time, and if there's panya, what does panya know at that time?
What level?
Both in samatha and in vipassana. Vipassana, I understand, you know a reality. But what about samatha?
So samatha knows the object, which is the object of samatha. No understanding of that object as a reality.
So knows in the same way as right now I know that Zita is there? No, it must be different.
The object of jhana is there, not Ashita.
And in
but
the,
it's still the object, something.
In the case of metta that reaches the level of jhana, what is the object?
Like the object of jhana, but it's not that object, it is being.
A being. So it knows about the being, or it knows about what? What does it know?
Any. As being.
Maybe it knows the being as a being, and therefore that the being is worthy of metta or something like that, rather than of anger.
Yeah, but that's any level of panya, any level of metta, any level, even the beginning. So what's the difference when it reaches that level of jhana? Knows better? What it means to know better?
I can't answer because I don't know jhana.
That's why we have to learn what are the object of samatha, whether it is nimitta or not nimitta. Because you see that even the arupa jhana does not have any such nimitta.
But none of the jhanas have reality.
The jhana jitta is reality.
The jhana jitta is a reality, but the object of jhana jitta is a concept.
Mm-hmm.
In all cases, it's never
not
a reality.
All, because for the arupa jhana, the akasha is the object of.
Right.
But that's also a concept for him.
Only two are not concepts.
Akasha, in this case, you're saying.
Is the object of
and
vinyana.
The reality of akasha?
Vinyana. In order to have the higher understanding of the arupa jhana, to reach the vinyana jayatana, see, it has to have the akasha first, and that citta becoming the object of vinyana.
Oh, that citta becomes the object
yes.
of vinyana. And the akasha, we're not referring to paricheda.
No,
the
citta, which is akasa nanjayatana.
Oh, it's difficult.
I think we've talked this before, but even the Buddha had concepts.
Yeah, why not?
Of course, and the Arahant, but they
understand.
They
the
all
difference,
know
yeah.
that it's just concept. It's
understand.
Not real. So we can't do without concepts.
Or the teachings are to be understood.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching of the Buddha. Not to do.
Not to do.
No one can do. There's no one. Just but there can be understanding.
Mm-hmm.
As not I.
Yeah, I just heard on one of Achan's Thai tapes, Thai talks about someone was talking about in the suttas, it's written about
the bhikkhus walking, right, and being mindful. And some saying, so when it's written like that, how are we to understand? I mean, then a chance, it's not, because normally we hear, we think that the Buddha said to follow, to do the same. When we hear about the bhikkhus walking and walking meditation, whatever they call it, then we think it's a practice to do something. Then Achan said, the Tipitaka is, so she's, that person said, so now we read and you're saying we don't just do what it says to do? No, Achan said, when we read to understand what's being said.
Well, I think I mentioned just before you came that because I read a lot, and yes, I understand what you're saying. You read and you think, oh, I've got to do this, but without hearing from the wise person that it has to be now, and that there's no self to do anything. I mean, I think that's the most important thing. That if I could hear that just forever and forever, it still takes a long time. But I think that really is the most important thing to learn, that now cannot be controlled. There is no
to be
one.
Truthful. And the truth is, Panya is not I.
There's a lot of I, because even when you hear that, it's kind of like it's just there. It's just all the time there's I, me, wanting to do or doing, or it seems to be there all the time, the idea of I or the concept of I, me.
I think that's why Achan always comes back to seeing, hearing, now, because it has to start with now. To know that Panya is not I, it has to begin with knowing that seeing is not I, hearing is not I.
So we just have discussion on what can condition more and more understanding of no self. Like when we talk about Asua, we know when does it arise, which one, to understand that which is not known now can be understood intellectually until it can condition moment of direct awareness before the truth can be revealed by Panya developed. Otherwise, if we haven't heard about the Asava at all, we might think that there is no Akusala at all when Panya developed. But since it's real and Panya better understanding it, Atava is there. If Panya doesn't know it, it's there.
So those accumulations, I mean, whenever this Busala or Agusala chittas arising, it's accumulating, and it just continues to accumulate. So if there's understanding, this even if it's a very low level of understanding, that just also
it can
accumulates
be more and more.
Vipaka does not accumulate.
No, I'm saying the abusala and gusala,
and also the result of kamma. It's there.
The
which has in the past, yeah, and which continues.
So it's like that's those three: kilesa, kamma, vipaka, and
the circle.
And that's it, isn't it? That's
non-stop.
Non-stop until
Panya
knows
how to get out of the circle of birth and death. But not many people would like to get out.
That's surprising. You know, we read about the truth of suffering, and it's all, you know, birth, old age, sickness, death, being separated from loved ones, not getting what we want. So much of it is seemingly unpleasant, and yet We do want to keep.
Because there is I.
Because it's I. I always think if I do this, it'll get better. If I do that, it will get better. And that's why there's a second noble truth. It's because of that I, and I can do it better next time. I'll do it better.
This is something we've heard a long time, and maybe here also, that why the Bodhisattva had to be born as a human to become a Buddha is because there's both happiness and unhappiness, I mean, pleasure and displeasure. And the conclusion is that it's very hard to develop understanding if one was in a happy plane. How true is that?
It depends, because one does need to be poor and to have sickness to be known as no self. There must be the understanding of whatever, even pleasure, must be known as no self either. And that is the path, the only path, the development of understanding of whatever. No selection, no choice, to see the anatomies more and on. Not enough.
So in the end, if it's a matter of Panya that is the leader, then it does not matter what the reality is.
As not I, see, even such understanding. It can be, I think, like that. I begin to agree, but it's I. Until nothing can be done because of the understanding that there is no I at all. Even right now, whatever appears is conditioned. The understanding of letting go is not just thinking about that, but more understanding that after that, what else? The I comes in instantly, so quickly. If Panya is not there, one might think that I now am happy to understand that there is no self.
So, in other words, even when we hear, and in reality there's very little understanding, but, you know, we sometimes mistake that there is understanding, it does not matter because it's just conditioned reality is the way it is.
And what about this does not matter?
Even that,
I of Panya,
again, it happens
of that
again
degree,
and again.
The degree of intellectual understanding,
right,
or the moment when it's aware directly of the reality, but hasn't developed understanding enough to penetrate the Pativeda.
So it takes longer than we think.
Much more. Cannot be speculated. The more there is understanding, it conditions the more letting go with Panya, but not the idea of self, as firm as before.
I'm very impressed with what I once heard you say, that the Bodhisattva does not think like anyone else. He thinks while we all just think anything, any experience, we think in terms of how to get something, how to gain, how to get some result. The Bodhisattva's thinking was how to detach. And we can see the big difference,
yes,
because all day we're just thinking of getting something. Even Dhamma, we're getting something.
Never enough.
Never.
Before then can be just a little moment of thinking about the truth. From nothing to be something and then nothing again. Completely gone.
That's something, nothing.
Like
nothing, something, nothing. That you're talking about jittas and
now,
jittas. Yes.
Everything.
That is so, so fast.
And it has been directly understood.
Yes. Yeah. It takes even longer than you said, Sukhin.
The more understanding, the more one can understand it. How long? What life with expectation at all.
But then again, Azita, it's not like it's about reaching that level of understanding where you see nothing and then there's something. It's just understanding what appears better and better. So it doesn't matter. Even that step is, you're still thinking about what at the end, right? But even now, there's so much ignorance and...
But that's what's happening now. Nothing, something, nothing.
Yes, but it may not be what's needed to be understood even now. Even now is just to understand what appears.
Which is
anything that appears. And even intellectually, to appreciate that is a long way. I mean, we have one moment of appreciating that it's only about now, but then again, lost in stories again and again.
Well, I think then that's a good example of not controllable.
Everything.
That's why even you know a lot of the books on the teachings, but it cannot yet lead you to the direct understanding of this moment. It's useless. That's why now it seems like we don't get anything from talking about such and such. But actually, when there is the understanding, it's conditioned to let go.
And when we hear such things, we're already thinking, oh, do I have that? Did it happen?
Well, I'm glad to hear that. It's the same for me. And it's like, well, I might die tomorrow, and then I'll never hear this again. Where am I going to go? Blah, blah, blah. All those stories. Useless stories.
That's why Jan was reminding us today about how the self is always coming in. To
take over.
Yeah, and even in Dhamma, when we think we have understood, even that time, it's the self again.
That's why it seems like there's no thinking of I. But actually, after 3 moments after seeing, it's there. That's why we cannot say what moment is the idea of self. But it's there for sure.
And I think, Achan, your reminder about everything has to be...
natural,
and also in order. Means, if wrong view is not eradicated, then other akusala is not going to be eradicated. So, because sometimes we always think about, oh, we have so much sensuous attachment, we have so much anger and all that, but first is wrong understanding that has to be eradicated. Otherwise the self is always coming.
That is the understanding of the path is very important. Otherwise the self try to have samma, viriya and so on, but actually that cannot be controlled or have it arise at will. Depending on understanding, when there is the understanding, the other chetasikas arising is right because of right understanding.
It comes in that self because the more you read about the good things, giving and being kind to people, and then I see the things in myself that I really dislike, and more than trying to be aware of the present moment, like, I don't like that, I'd like to get rid of that. But that's impossible. Only eventually...
As long as I, there must be conditions for all akusala chetasika.
Ajahn, it seems the vanchaka dhammas particularly happen when we, like what Azita is saying, when we think that okay, dana is good, sila is good,
but not you,
and that is bad.
Did you not see?
Huh?
What? But it's not you.
And those situations that I'm talking about, when we, this is akusla, this is kusla, and then there's I, and then that's where the chance of vanchaka dhamma is coming to, because we want not to have akusla, we want to have kusla, then there's a cheating dhamma that come in.
True.
What's an example of a cheating dhamma?
I don't remember the list, but they are in, for example, if I remember one that says like you think you should be detached, right? And then you don't feel anything towards something, right? And you think that's detachment, but it's actually just indifference with ignorance.
Also, I think another good example of was Aninami described, you've often brought this up yourself, Khunsuk Kim, about Lopa, which is an enemy disguised as a friend. That's a good example of a Wanchika Dhamma. It's mistaking what we think is good, which is not good, not helpful. Isha, I was looking at the word Wanchika recently, and the root of that word is Wanch, which means we get the English word wonk, to be wonky, or to be crooked, or deceptive. I think that's why we can be so grateful to Ajahn, because I know that I was very lost when I first came to Thailand.
Ajahn, it's almost, I can't help thinking that we're lucky to meet.
Some say that I'm lucky to be born Thai.
Because, and yeah, I think also I'm lucky to be born Thai, because I can listen to your tapes in Thai, because I consider those that you recorded, that's been recorded, your talks, it's like, you know, priceless. And it will go on, last for whoever is ready to listen. I mean, it's hard to understand from the Tripitaka directly, but your help is like, it's priceless.
And we can begin to appreciate the subtlety and the delicacy of the Dhamma. It's difficult. And though with patience and persistence, and it can be done, but it does take a long time. I appreciate that more, because sometimes, like during, often the jhana, I think, samsara is very fearful, it seems to me, a very fearful place. And then I think of my accumulations, my akusala. Then I think of, all sorts of things that are not helpful, but I think samsara is a scary place.
But is samsara a place? It's just chitta chetasika.
True, I know that, but I get swamped by concepts.
But actually now, this is the danger of samsara rising forward.
Well, you're a good friend, Sukhin, because sometimes when I think about samsara being very scary, I don't think wisely. I think akusala, dosa.
That's the problem with when we don't hear that, we haven't heard the Dhamma. We usually say we want not to be reborn again. Actually, what we're saying is that we don't want to be born in unpleasant realms.
It's true.
In a happy plane, we don't object at all. Is this why there's not only the Buddha, before he was Buddha, Bodhisattva, even Savaka is Bodhisattva?
Yes, because there are three kinds of Savaka.
So, Because what I'm thinking is
three kinds of bodhisattva and savaka.
Because even for savaka, even the who become arahata quickest, must in his, while he's developing understanding, he's not just doing for himself.
That's the way to letting go the self.
There must be all kinds of kusta.
It's nekama.
You said two kinds of bodhisattva. Is that
three?
Mm-hmm.
Samma Sambuddho, Paccekha, and Savaka.
Savaka being?
Us, future.
Us.
The follower is Savaka. Now, we are Savaka.
I was going to say our chance.
When there's the understanding of the teaching so well, never get lost, never turn away.
And I was relating, you were talking about fear, you know, what's going on. But when there's confidence in what is being learned, what is confidence in Dhamma?
According to understanding.
Our own understanding, that this it cannot be any other way but what it is right now.
The more understanding is conditioned, the more satta, confidence.
Right, yes. Just a little comment from the Mangala Sutta, and it says, because it is not owing to a wise man that there is fear. It is not owing to a wise man that there is peril. It is not owing to a wise man that there is calamity. Moreover, a wise man resembles such scented goods as Tagara flowers, and one who consorts with him resembles a leaf in which Tagara flowers have been wrapped, and he becomes fit for wise man's cultivation and approval. And the other one, the opposite to that, was dead fish wrapped up in leaf, and that's when there's mixing with unwise people. But I thought that was really nice.
From moment to moment.
Moment to moment.
I was thinking of challenges now from moment to moment, but also, is there also the idea that, like here, we are amongst this thing, this is like being leaf wrapping around flowers. I mean, if there's no pandya, of course it's not that. That's from moment to moment. It's only when pandya does one associate with the wise. But also we know that it's because generally in the situations of life, we know we have friends who listen to Dhamma, and then as against, we have friends who don't listen to Dhamma. So being with friends who listen to Dhamma is also in a way like associating with the wise?
Because you see that actually the wise one, the highest one, must be arahata or arahant sotapanna, but arahata is different from sotapanna. So arahata is pandita. And for sotapanna and the rest, which are not arahatas, they still have akusala citta. So at the moment of being kusala, it's pandita. At the moment of having the akusala, it is pala. So one cannot say that asotapanna is pala or asotapanna is pandita, because it can be either pala or pandita according to moment.
But for example, let's say in the case of the eight worldly conditions, gain, loss, all these happen because we're in the world. So I'm also saying, being a human being, we socialize, we have friends. Now, there's a situation where we have we are surrounded by good friends and we are surrounded by bad friends. So taking into account that the kuspa chittas are kuspa chittas, and especially if we still have a lot of akusla, we have kutajanas, we are helped by other people who are wise. So in that case, even though those other people are also putujanas, they're kalyana putujanas, sometimes they say good things. So in that sense, also a kind of association, right? Even if it's not, we're not talking about that particular moment, we're talking about a situation. Can't that also be referred to as associating with the wise?
It depends on the moment, because you see that when you keep company with Pala and you do not follow the idea at all,
then you're wise.
Just for the sake that you can help them. Otherwise you won't mingle with them. And it said that don't even go, even by thinking about. See? Even thinking, shouldn't thinking about going to be surrounded by the wrong people, the Pala.
And that is that a situation like what I was referring to earlier, Savaka, Bodhisattva, when even when you're with a bad person, you think about helping him with Dhamma?
Mm-hmm. Just for that purpose.
And there was I was looking at a sutta during the week about that too, and the Buddha was sitting in the forest, and these youths came up to him, and they saw the Buddha there, and they paid respect to him. He was in a very quiet place. And then Mahanama came along and he said, "Oh, it's wonderful, Lord. These youths, they are rough. They slap women on the back. They do bad things. But they come along and they pay respect to you." And then he said, the sutta goes on more and more and says about how the Buddha was able to encourage all types of kusala, like, no matter whether the man who walks in the field, or if the one is generous of heart and good of heart, he affects the other one and affects the other one, so that even those rough youths that the who were paying respect to the Buddha, they it can go, that kusala can develop. You know, that kusala is contagious in a way. It affects other people. The Buddha would have known these fellows and some of their behaviours, no doubt, but he never spoke about that. You know, it's just the other fellow came along and he said, "Oh, it's wonderful, Lord," because normally these fellows are so rough. And the way the sutta goes on, it was showing how the Buddha encourages all sorts of people to have many different types of kusala, and how people are influenced when they see good people doing good things. It encouraged more and more kusala. You know, even he didn't talk about development of panya necessarily, he was talking about kusala. So whatever situation is appropriate, you know, with our friends, it might be with we don't have to necessarily talk about high levels of panya, but we can talk about different types of kusala, how it's good to help people, it's good to be considerate, it's good to be kind, all those things. The Buddha spoke about those very cleverly in the sutta. I thought it was very well put together, because I haven't really come across that sutta before. I hadn't come across that sutta before, so it was interesting to read about it. You know, how there are always opportunities for kusala.
That makes me think, wonder whether there was anyone during the Buddha's time who had only a kusala chittas when seeing him, meeting him. Probably not. No? Someone came to him to argue, but in the end they, you know.
Depending on their accumulations.
That's right, because there were some who did come and who did disparage him. But as you said, sometimes they did, but I think sometimes they spoke about, I'm trying to think of some suttas, but there were some people who talked about him in very unfriendly ways. And of course, the famous example is Devadatta, who, he did some pretty crazy things. But even in the end, Devadatta came round to realize it. I'm sure though there were people who, who disparaged the Buddha and twisted his teachings at times in the wrong way. There are certainly people.
I mean, I can think of the opposing teachers, who never dared to come to him. Yeah. They probably thought only Akusala about him all the time. But I'm wondering whether those who did come and see him, whether it was part of his vipaka that they, when people come to him, they smile and they, things like that.
Well, it's always that. There's the very famous sutta, the Upali Sutta, where that fellow Upali, who was a very wealthy villager, and he was a follower of, I think it was Purana Kassapa. It could have been Makli Gosala, I'm not quite sure. And Upali was told that he should not go and see the Buddha because the Buddha was a trickster. He was a conjurer, Mayawi. He could deceive people. And one day he decided he would go, and he listened, of course, because his old teacher said to him, oh yes, you can deal with him, you can tell that Gotama how foolish he is. And of course, when he went along to see the Buddha, he slowly began to realize that this man, he eventually became enlightened. And his old teacher was, when he heard that his ex-pupil, his very big supporter, had become a follower of the Buddha, he didn't believe it. He said to him, he went up to him and said, I thought you were going to go and tell him. He said, it's like you went along to geld the horse and you got gelded yourself. Or it's like you went along to catch all the fish but you got snared in the trap yourself. But immediately when he came to see his old teacher, he initially, the old teacher was that he never stood up for him anymore. He just stepped. He was now a sotapanna, and his old teacher came, and he said to him, "Are you mad?" because he wasn't standing up, because he wasn't paying respect to his teacher, because always traditionally in India you always paid respect to your teacher. And he only, so everything changed quite dramatically because he had heard, he knew how foolish that was, and he had experienced the truth at a very profound level, that what he had been learnt before was just foolish nonsense. And he did say in the end also, he said, because he had been told that the Buddha was a trickster, was a conjurer, was a deceiver, and he said to his old teacher, oh, may it be that all my relations are so tricked, are so deceived by such an amazing person. May everybody be so deceived. So he used that word deception in a really positive way, or tricked. Because the Buddha was so clever, amazing. We can never, of course, imagine how, we can't imagine that, but he is able to impart the truth in ways that people can understand and perceive it. Even though, as you said, he had, it's a good example of somebody who had a lot of accumulation for very strong wrong view. But when he heard the Buddha, he knew instantaneously, actually, even though he said to when the Upali was saying to the Buddha, he kept on asking these questions, but he knew from the very first answer he wanted him to go on because he wanted to hear each example the Buddha gave him of how wrong his teachings were.
Of good friends and bad friends. We think of bad friends as fools, as people who don't listen to the Dhamma, who speak loudly. But sometimes those bad friends have some really good qualities. So it's not, you can't just say they're bad friends and that's it. Because I'm going by example, because I do have the occasional bad friend, but I know this aspect of those people that are, one I'm thinking of in particular, she is so generous and so caring for her mother and many different things. And then sometimes the so-called good friends in Dhamma, they can speak harshly. They're not always good friends in Dhamma.
And what about the understanding?
What about the understanding? Well, probably in both cases, the understanding, because if the person I mentioned, so-called bad friend, maybe they don't even know any of the Dhamma.
So,
but they do have good qualities.
It's good by virtue of leading one in the right direction. So someone's kind, someone is generous, but has no right understanding.
Yeah.
It's your own thinking that's your friend.
Yeah, and that, because that, you've just reminded me of the, it's called the putting away of malice. But you're right, because Sariputta said to the bhikkhus once, there are five people in the world who you can feel angry towards. And I won't go all of them, but the very first one, he said, that by way of speech, they can speak perhaps the Dhamma very skillfully, but when you watch them in their behaviour, you'll see that they might hit little children or they might be cruel to animals. So Sariputta said you should consider their skillful speech at that moment rather than focusing on the negative sides that they have. So, and it goes through different types of people that we are angry towards, but there is always an opportunity, Sariputta was saying, to have some sort of kusala in that person's behaviour, so we can be happy and glad in their own hearts that they have some kusala in their life, rather than, because, and we're all a bit like that in a way, I think we all have different types of kusala and akusala at different moments.
But sometimes you don't know that person and you know only if it's bad.
Yes,
yeah,
true.
So,
oh, true, totally, yes.
Like I was watching a film yesterday about Ted Bundy. I can't think of anything good.
About what?
Ted Bundy, you know,
yes,
Ted Bundy?
Mm-hmm. Multiple mass murderer.
Yeah, the serial killer.
Angulimala of the 1970s. But I'm thinking, it's interesting because we talk about bad people. In that example there are five people. The last one that we can be angry towards was the Buddha, or people like the Buddha, you know, who are all good. And there are some people who don't like him. And Sariputta encouraged people to be with that kind of person. So it's not just sometimes... Yeah, I was quite interested in that sutta because we can be angry towards good people, even, and we should, you know, reflect in a skillful way rather than just have aversion, which we sometimes do.
Anger actually hurts that one's own citta. Today I was very angry with Haji. Oh, for hours.
Hachi is so happy, but you're not happy.
No, he's also not happy, but yeah. But I could see that I'm the person I'm most attached to. I could be so angry with.
That's why people are just concept, no intrinsic characteristic. The person can be thought about with attachment or dosa.
And how's Hachi now?
He's not so good. He's got his problems.
No one knows. It's
Only
him.
Yeah.
But we can see the disadvantage of getting angry or any akusala.
And we can be reminded about the disadvantage of attachment, because without attachment there's no anger.
So we never know what's going to happen next.
Can it arise again?
No, never. So, Sukin, do you want to tell more stories about Hachi?
No.
He doesn't want it.
And as Achan just reminded, what if I'm going to start talking about his akusa, Achan will say, what about now? Mm-hmm. Right.
And thinking about how full avicca is, see?
How full?
Avicca is. Taking that reality as Hachi. Yeah, getting angry with the eyes, or the body, or the ear, or what? To just that idea
so
of someone.
And it's the stories. It's so much, and it's actually just one moment of Dhamma rising and falling away, but so caught up in stories.
The best thing is understanding the value of metta, because it's not there yet, so it can be aversion. But when there's metta, oh, he's gone. What we take for Hachi is gone. Everything should be the object of metta, kindness. Just see one another, we don't know how long. So the best thing is to be friendly. And one doesn't see the danger of, at the moment when it arises, the others get on very well, but the one who has it is like touching the fire.
That's the anger.
One's own fault, one's own ignorance. Nothing to do with the object at all.
That's a good example of that. It's like we're putting our hands into the fire.
Well, that's what good, you know, good friends, as you said, Sukhan, before, you know, the Kalyana Mitta who reminds us about these things. It's easy to forget. And we've all got accumulations for dosa. You know, there are conditions, we all have it. But when we hear wise words like that, it enables us to reflect more carefully about the dangers of akusala, especially at that level. You know, we've accumulated so much attachment, so when there are the conditions, there will be a lot of dosa. You know, it's difficult sometimes, but we just need to be patient and be around good people. Keep on considering the Dhamma. That's the most important thing, you know, and that's a blessing. You can begin to see what a blessing is all about, you know, to associate with the wise, you know. That's such a rare thing, very, very rare, very, very rare.
Sukhin, when a lot of time before, when I get angry, and Ajahn's words always ringing in my ears, on my mind, that the reason you get angry is because you didn't get what you want. Very simple. Everything to your friend, your husband, your wife, your kids, your maid, or whatever. And it's really right down when you sit down and think about it, it's really you didn't get what you want. You want that person to do exactly how you want it to be. Not this way, it's got to be this way. So it's actually helping me a lot in the past.
I think also it's if we're full of gilesa.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there is no gilesa, then there's no anger with any, they can do anything out there. It's only because there is gilesa still here.
Yeah.
And that's the good reminder for me, because anyone, as Achan often said, anyone can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what arises in here. I say in here, there's no in here out there. But it's there. If there's no gilesa, then there's no problem.
So the Buddha said, if you hold yourself dear, you're not angry at other people, right? If you hold yourself dear, you're not angry.
It means the same thing as if you see that the citta should not hurt the citta, citta gets hurt. If you see that all akusala hurts the citta, and you don't want that to happen, then you don't get angry. Is that what you mean? Is that what it meant?
It's accumulation of dosa.
And Achan, we can see how we don't love anyone more than ourselves.
Oh, definitely. Surely.
100%. What am I talking about? The level of panja, anakami, that is no dosa. You see, what would you say?
You mean?
Yeah.
It's about the danger of dosa, not eradication. Not a level of eradication, but to see the danger of dosa, right? Accumulation.
There can be many levels. Even intellectually, there can be.
I remember in the Suddhi Magga, there's an example of a bhikkhu who, when he was arguing with the other bhikkhus over some matter, and he said, "Oh, I left my family with tears in my eyes, and yet I've come here to lead the holy life, and I'm fighting with these people. This seems crazy." And I always remembered that. And it says also that anger, it says that it burns up its own support like a forest fire. So you see the beautiful forest, that was the analogy they were giving. You see the beautiful forest, and a fire destroys the beautiful forest. And the fire, of course, is the fire of dosa, which destroys. We don't think, which is the physical supports of our own body, you know, it disturbs and it harms the physical environment of where we live, so to speak. Yeah. So perhaps I like Ajahn's example better, that, you know, it's so harmful, you know, but we forget that the attachment that underpins our anger, that's the problem, which we tend to forget about all the time. I know I do.
One knows that as long as Panya is not ready to understand that, there should be just the hearing more, develop more understanding to be conditions for different level of understanding the danger of akusala then. No matter it's not dosa, what about lopa?
And that's what I was just thinking. We say, oh, you know, anger harms and anger burns. Mm. But in the meantime, there's lots of lopa just going on and on and on and on.
I think when it says burn, it's just showing the particular aspect of anger. It is not like, it's not saying that anger is dangerous and lopa is not dangerous. It's just showing anger is like that, it burns.
But all kilesas have panya as their opposite enemy. So all depends on right understanding.
And in the meantime, as you were quick to point out earlier, what about metta? I mean, panya, even if it's little, but it's good to be reminded that all kusala is helpful, so metta also can help a lot.
The metta I would like to share for the past 2 weeks, discussion Dharma is a blast for our understanding, but also there are so many living examples of people having metta. You know, they consider other people most of the time. So that's what also very fortunate for me.
Friendly, no matter when, what situation?
Better metta than attachment. Because with children, with family, it's all the time attachment, no metta.
But no one can stop. It's conditioned. But panya can understand as not self at all.
And that would actually be the future sorrow. Attachment instead of metta.
Without panya, no one can have such kusala moments to be known as not self. See? So the first thing is to understand the nature of realities as not self. As long as there is still being, one cannot stop having such feeling.
And similar to the developing of right understanding, it's not choosing any Dharma, metta also, no choosing who.
And actually it's time to understand dosa when it arises. As the wife, we just think about dosa. When dosa is not there.
Metta does not eradicate dosa. It's only panya that eradicates dosa.
What about moha? We talk about lopa and dosa, but moha, we don't talk much about moha.
Can you see?
You
talk about that shows up.
Well, this is it, because if there's moha, there's like...
Because we understand it is there all the time when a kusala moment arises.
Yeah, because it's all...
But it's not clearly known.
Right.
That's right. Whatever appears as something that one can think about and understand it as a self.
Because with lopa there's moha anyway.
Yes, but when there is understanding, no akusala cetasikas can arise at all.
With kusala.
So it's automatically just letting go little by little according to the level of understanding.
And for me, I think it's helpful, you know, when we talk about jitters arising and falling away, along with jetasikas arising and falling away, happening so quickly, that they're good reminders that we can't make kusala arise. Like if I really don't like this person, I'm not going to have metta. But
any
there
dharma
might be metta, I don't know.
Any
dharma can arise, yes.
Before there can be such understanding of that whatever appears, it takes quite a long time without speculation about this or that. So it depends on panya to understand whatever realities are showing up. Like dosa is there so much, but without understanding, we take it for I immediately before there can be a moment of understanding it as not self. It's just that which is anger, unpleasant feeling, akusala citta, depending on what aspect you're thinking about, before there can be the direct understanding, which is right understanding of the characteristic as not self.
And I think that's why it's important to hear often, to listen often. And that that is becoming clearer to me that, you know, in the day if I'm listening, there is a lot more contemplating on the Dhamma. But if I go outside, then it's outside, there's everything else to...
And that, and Tirupanya is strong enough.
Yes,
Tirupanya is strong enough.
To arise unexpectedly.
Right.
Even at different level. That is satya, is parami, to be truthful.
I'm wondering if there is any particular purpose that you talk a lot about understanding, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, because that's, it's only these vipaka chittas are easier to understand the nature of chitta.
We cannot say easier.
Why I'm saying this is that because if you're to understand chitta, because we talk of as these being vijnana, we're not talking about the chetasikas that arise with it. We're talking about when we refer to examples of chitta, we say seeing is a chitta, hearing is a chitta. But when it comes to thinking, because it arises with kusla or akusla, that it's harder to understand the nature of chitta.
As long as there is the idea of I, there can be so many ideas.
Okay. When the idea of I lessens, it seems... would that mean asking less questions and listening more?
Because you see, it has to be the right understanding from one's own consideration. Considering, wise considering, see?
How? Because whatever you say is useful. And then if I start, I'm wondering about this thing, and I ask questions with the idea of self, it shows that I don't value enough, I don't have enough understanding.
Of this moment.
Yeah.
And also expect to understand this or that at what time, but actually any time, by conditions. It's more powerful than thinking about that. It's suitable time. Even so, there's clinging.
This is the example of why it's so difficult for people who don't meet the wise friend to misunderstand. It's so easy to misunderstand. From the wordings, it says to see the akusla as akusla, and therefore detach, relinquish.
This is what I was going to say, the thing that I've learnt from Achan is that no matter what reality arises, even if it is a kusala, it can be known as just a Dhamma arises and falls away. Whereas a lot of people think, oh, you're an angry person, you have to work at getting rid of this anger. That will never happen. You just get more angry, probably.
But that's not what I'm
saying. That is so just... Whatever arises can be known. Mm-hmm.
But that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the Buddha is talking about seeing the danger of akusala, right? Which we understand that only Pandya can see.
Mm-hmm.
And when Pandya sees, there's detachment at that time. From the wordings, it sounds like you see and then you become detached. So people think that is something you have to do, right?
Okay, no.
But akusala as akusala, but it could be taken as kusala, like a righteous anger. So before any detachment, what is kusala, what is akusala actually is also an important stage.
So when it's taken for kusala as in righteous anger, then there's no panya. So there's not going to be any detachment. So some people, when reading that, might think, oh, even if I'm having righteous anger, I should just let go. Right? But
I just tried to get Tsukin mentioned about the Hachi, angry 1 hour, but it's just a Dhamma.
Because not seeing akusala as akusala.
But at least also not trying not to have with the idea of self. That's what we gain from coming here. Because some people will try not to have dosa.
No matter it grows or it's less, right understanding can understand it as a reality. Until then, it takes quite a long time. And if there is no understanding of akusala at all, how can it be eradicated?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really good point, because if we don't know the whatever is arising, then we just go on and on and on.
Or try to letting go.
Try to let go. Yeah.